The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh, and if children, heirs also, heirs of Yahweh and fellow heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. See, we are co-heirs with Yahshua. That's a very special place and position to be in. But are we worthy of that calling? Well, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. You know, the creation was subjected to futility because the direction in which the creation has gone into a futile direction, a hopeless direction, without Yahweh. But with Yahweh, He gives hope, you see. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of Yahweh. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And you know that when, you know, well, I'm sure that the women in the audience could speak a lot better to this than I do, but the pains of childhood, okay, they don't come in 1 second and then it's over. It comes and then it's gradual. And you know that the end is near, right, in terms of delivering, but it's a gradual process. And this is what has been happening in the course of history in terms of Yahweh's creation. It didn't just all of a sudden, you know, they didn't start feeling the pains and all of a sudden everything's over. It's not over yet. We're still suffering these pains. We're still going through these things until the point we're going to reach the tribulation where it's going to reach a culmination, you understand? And then you really know that you're close, okay? But these pains are continuing even till now, and the creation groans and suffers. Don't you groan and suffer this with this world, brethren? Like you see in Ezekiel, how Yahweh passed over from judgment the ones who were groaning and sighing and crying because of all the madness that they were seeing around them. Now this is how we are in this world, brethren, because we see how utterly corrupt everything is. And not only this, verse 23, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. In other words, we don't want to be subject to this battle anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of struggling. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he has already for what he already sees. But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. And we can continue there. Let's take a few minutes now to return to Galatians 5 and go through the various works of the flesh that are identified. And let's find in the Scripture examples of how these acts or behaviors or practices are viewed in the Scriptures and how they have caused and continue to cause untold grief to men and women throughout the ages. Now, note that we'll cover each only very, very briefly, because we obviously could develop full-blown sermons on each element, brethren. As a matter of fact, I started going through just that whole list, and I said, there's just no way I can cover all this and still have time to give some suggestions here. So I'm going to kind of fly through this, so stay with me. You know, buckle your seatbelt, because we're going for a bit of a ride here, okay? Immorality, in verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. I'm going to take those three together. Immorality, impurity, and sensuality. And as I said, you can go through each one of those in great detail using many, many scriptural examples. But we'll get a taste of what we're talking about here. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, and we'll read beginning with verse 14. It's just one example. Revelation 2:14. This is Yahweh speaking through Yahshua to the congregation in Pergamum. And he says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teachings of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. Well, this is a reference to what you find in Numbers 24, 25. Balaam, who was a foreign prophet, he went to curse Israel, and he wound up each time blessing Israel. Okay, but apparently during this period of time here, the counsels that Balaam was giving to Balak apparently eventually instigated Israel to commit all kinds of immorality, and we see that culminating in Numbers 25. We won't turn there, but Numbers 25 talks about the matter of Baal Peor.